Volume. Okay. Oops.
Hi, Mr. He's still connecting.
Oh, he's connecting audio. Can you hear us, Mr. Lateef? No?
I have not heard from Dennis yet. Anybody heard from Tim?
I haven't.
I spoke with Gabriella again this afternoon and she was planning on joining us, so.
Oh, there she is.
There she is, yay.
Yep.
Hi, Gabriella, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay, we can hear you too.
Yep. Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I think this is Cynthia.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hello. Cynthia's here.
We're going to discuss our big adventure on the bus route.
Oh, we are?
Okay. Yeah. Well, not the detail stuff, but how it was time well spent.
Yes, it was.
I'll give it a couple more minutes and see if we can round up Dennis. I haven't heard from him in a couple days.
Do we not have a quorum?
We do.
Okay.
Hi, Mr. Lateef. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, good.
You can hear me?
There you are.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Where's Tim?
Yep. It's just 3:31. Let's give it a couple more minutes.
Hey, I'm here. I'm ready to go. Let's get this show on the road.
There we go. Okay.
Our new vice chair is esteemed.
The esteemed Tim Riche. That's the first and probably last time that ever be said.
Okay.
That's what happens when you don't attend a meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
You get elected.
I'm still waiting for the credit card bill to come in.
Can you see the agenda?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry to dump all those photos or scans on you at the last minute. My scanner it was either that or my brain wasn't cooperating.
No worries.
Glad you could join us, Corrine.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You had us guessing. It was like everybody got a jury notice, apparently.
I think so.
A lot of people are out. Yeah, they're like, yikes.
I escaped today. We'll see about tomorrow.
Well, that was good timing on our part.
Yes.
Are they doing it in person now?
As far as I know.
Really?
I talked to a co-friend of mine and she had to go in.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I'm surprised.
Yeah.
My husband had to go to Madeira, was it in the fall? I mean, it was when COVID was still pretty hot and heavy, but they only had like 40 people at a time and the chairs all spaced out. They had all the precautions in place, but yeah, they were still seating juries.
Wow. That would have been a little dicey.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Double mask, carry your own hand sanitizer, you know.
Don't breathe. Yeah.
Yikes. Okay. Let's see, how do we get back to the, participants, there we go. Oh, there's Vidal, okay. Hi, Vidal.
Hello, DJ, how are you?
Good, glad you could join us.
Yes.
Did you have a chance to open those materials?
Yes, I did. Yes,
awesome.
I did.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I have, what time is it? 3:34. So.
Ready to start?
Let's go ahead and start. Roll call, please.
DJ Becker.
Here.
Tim Rochet.
Yes, ma'am.
Cynthia Ortegon.
Here.
Muhammad Latif.
Present.
Dennis Smith. Diana Robbins. Gabriella Gonzalez.
Here.
Okay. Diana had confirmed, so maybe she's still trying to get in. So, public comment. The first 15 minutes of the meeting are reserved for members of the public to address the advisory council on items which are within the subject matter of the council. Speakers shall be limited to 3 minutes. Speakers will be asked but not required to identify themselves and state the subject of their comment. If the subject is an item on the agenda, the chairperson has the option of asking the speaker to hold the comment until that item is called. Comments on the items listed as public hearing on the agenda, I don't think that applies to us, should be held until the hearing is opened. Council is prohibited from taking any action on matters that are not on the agenda, and no adverse conclusions should be drawn if the council does not respond to public comment at this time. Do we have any matters or public comment? Seeing none.
Madam Chair, this is Vidal.
Oh, hi.
Hi. I have a comment, but I will wait till item 3 on the agenda as you, it's related to printed materials.
All right, anybody else? Seeing none, proceed to business matters. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes from the previous meeting of March 16th?
I'll make a motion to accept the meeting, the minutes from the previous meeting.
I second it. It's Cynthia.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays?
We'll actually take a roll call vote.
Okay, go ahead.
EJ Becker?
Aye.
Tim Rochet?
Aye.
Cynthia Ortegon?
Aye.
Mohammed Latif?
Yes.
Gabriela Gonzalez?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion passed unanimously. So that moves us to item number two, informational report on the City of Madera Senior Nutrition Program. Corrine Long Folk, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you again. So I'd like to just share that with the COVID-19 affecting us last March, we did have to close our two senior centers in the city, the Frank Burgon Center and the Pan American Center. And at that time, we were serving approximately 160 seniors that were coming to our centers, enjoying not just our meals, but all the other activities that we provided them. So with the COVID-19 and the closure of our senior sites, the Fresno Madera Agency on Aging did take over the managing of the meal program, including the home delivered meals, or commonly known Meals on Wheels program. So with that happening, they were taking their monies, that the Older American X money and their COVID monies, and putting it towards meals for our seniors that were going to our congregate sites and delivering it to their homes. So from there, the seniors have been receiving since March of last year a weekly delivery of a TV dinner type, seven of those, along with breakfast items, a half a gallon of milk, a loaf of bread, and fresh fruit. And that's delivered weekly. And in talking with our seniors, I do wellness calls to our seniors every week since March of last year. And it has really been a appreciative by our seniors to receive those meals. It's really helped them a lot. And it's kept them safe. It's kept them at home, not having to go grocery shopping as much. We also have our home delivered meals collectively within the city and county. There are approximately 550 participants in that program. And these programs are growing. They've been growing above and beyond the numbers that I've given you daily as people call in and are searching for ways to get meals or food of any kind. And that's how we're able to help by keeping our senior center staff with myself, being able to help them reach out to resources that they may need, especially meals. The other way they're getting meals is through the Madera Food Bank is providing their commodities program still, which is once a month. They have put a place somewhere within the city that seniors are told about a month in advance to where they can go and collect their commodities, which could be your staples, your, excuse the phone, someone else will answer it, I'm sorry. Staples could be your beans and your rice, your pastas, your sauces and canned vegetables to help them get through the month. And then there is also another program the Madera Food Bank does, which is called the Brown Bag, where our seniors pay $24 a year. And once a month, they will get at a delivery site, they will get a bag of groceries. And that could have some vegetables. It could have cheeses, meats, just depending on what the food bank has to offer for that month. So there's about 160 of those seniors now getting our Brown Bag. I know when our senior centers were open, we were approximately about 120. So that program has grown also for our seniors. And so that's pretty much how we're reaching out to our seniors, being able to provide them meals, whether it be homebound meals or our congregate meal sites. And that's about what we're doing. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them for you.
This came about, Corrine, from kind of a identification of the Meals on Wheels program, the need for it, and reaching the folks that are the homebound seniors that may not be able to get into the congregate sites or get to the food bank. So that was an item that was brought to our attention. It's been intermittently for the last year or so, and then COVID hit and the need just really increased. So I think my initial question was, how are we targeting marketing to these homebound seniors? Is it possible to contact them through, like, perhaps adult protective services? I mean, where are we getting the recipients? How are we coming across them, and how do they sign up? People ask me quite often, how do I sign up for that?
Okay, we'll start with the sign up. Currently, since COVID, the Fresno Madera Agency on Aging is handling mm-hmm. all of that. Previous to that, for our county, let me back up, our city, I would handle all that. So they make the initial phone call, and then there's criteria to go with being able to qualify for the home delivered meals, which would be, you have to be 60 or older, not be driving, and have no one available to cook a meal for you. If they meet that criteria, then before COVID, an appointment was set up where the representative would go to the home and would do the initial assessment and the application, so to speak. And then that would be the process. And then once it's all finished and they are qualified for it, then the information is given to EOC in Fresno, who would put it on their route sheet and would deliver it. So for us, when our senior centers were open, people could contact our senior centers. They still can. I have both lines still open. They're sent to me. They're able to call, and any person that's looking for a meal, I will refer to Fresno Madera Agency on Aging. Right. They are open. Stephanie is taking all the calls. And the same criteria is there for the home delivered meals. FMAAA does a lot of outreach. Most agencies know about the food program, whether it's Adult Protective Services. I get calls from them, or case management, people from the hospital, discharge nurses, those type of things. All are very much aware about Fresno Madera Agency on Aging and the meal programs. Did that answer your question?
Yes. Let me just share my experience with you. I did attempt to reach out to them pre-COVID, because we had identified some concerns on this issue pre-COVID. And I had a great deal of difficulty getting through their phone tree. The people that I was, let me think, I'm trying to do this from memory. I talked to several people, and they were operating at capacity. And we were grappling with funding to try to increase the funding for Madera Needs. So I just want to start the discussion on how we can better target our homebound seniors.
Pre-COVID, yes, there was caps on. There's only so many they can serve out of the Older Americans Act money that is given to them. Mm-hmm. I just talked to Stephanie from FMAAA, and they are currently up to 1,100 meals they're serving now a week.
In Madera?
Madera and Fresno, that's a combined, yeah, because they cover, yeah, Fresno. So for us, the numbers are, as I stated or above, they're at least, I would say, from talking with her, she couldn't give me an exact number today, but she was close to 200 for our city seniors. And then she said that she was over the 550 mark, but she couldn't give me an exact amount for the home delivered within our county.
Right. Well, I was just hoping to start this discussion because we're anticipating more funding for Madera Needs, more federal funding, more state funding to meet these senior and disabled needs. So I just want to be sure that we're making it efficient and simple for folks to reach out so that we can improve our home delivery service. So there's been a lot of confusion, and, you know, I'd like to educate myself and our committee on how we can outreach to the folks that we're not reaching. The folks that are able to drive to the congregate sites were the ones that were initially signing up on the home delivery list. So those were more mobile folks, or the folks that can get to the food bank. So there's quite a population of people that aren't able, even still, to get to the congregate sites. And I just want to look at how we can improve that delivery service and have it be a little more separated from Fresno and kind of focus on our Madera residents, our homebound seniors.
Well, we definitely do that. And just another outreach would be for those who have internet service, which I know a lot of our seniors don't, but those that do, it's also listed on our Madera.gov page under the senior section. It lists us being able to provide the home delivered meals and the contact phone number there also. The agency, I can't speak totally for the agency. I'm not responsible for the agency, but I do know that they do go out a lot, and they have a resource van where they will target and come to our city. They've been here many times. They also do a lot of events when the events were available and get the word out that we do have this program in Madera.
Right. Well, just as an example, I'm not sure exactly the timing, but Councilmember Holly's wife was quite ill, and he actually had tried to get home delivery of meals, and he was unable to do so. And this was pre-pandemic. So there's a lot of frustration in the community, and I think a lot of room where we can meet needs if now that you and I have connected, you know, we can work on this together.
Of course.
All right.
Be happy to. Sure.
All right. Any questions? Comments?
One of the things I'd like to just say is how I don't really know of a how do you recommend marketing it out there any better? DJ, do you have any suggestions for that? Or
well,
I'm thinking to myself, if they don't have internet, then it doesn't do any good to do Facebook. If it doesn't, you know, I guess maybe an ad, but nobody really reads the Tribune that much either. You know, a lot of our people don't have subscriptions. So
how about an insert in the utility bill?
Good idea.
Yeah, sure. That might really, you know, get some phones ringing.
That actually wouldn't hurt. I like that idea.
Mm-hmm. And I would also like to explore outreach to APS and, you know, other social services, where if we could print out an insert and put them on a counter someplace to the folks that are interacting on the social services level, I think we could really meet, you know, really increase this.
Those are all great ideas.
I think if you put it in the utility bill insert, I think a lot more people will be able to see it, because other than that, they're not going to see it.
Yeah. Everybody gets a utility bill. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We did one, was an orange flyer for the animal shelter shot clinics. And it was just the most tremendous use of our outreach, because it just was, you know, something savable. People put it on the counter or the refrigerator, and it was just, I would encourage that. Anybody else?
Great idea, sure. We can go back to FMAAA also and suggest some of these things to them and let them try to market it.
I just happen to have a flyer right here. That's it. English and Spanish, nice, bright colors, good contrast and visibility.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Happy to share this with anybody.
Sure.
If I haven't forced it on you already.
It's okay.
Any other comments or suggestions before we move on? Seeing none. And I've omitted welcoming Gabriella. So my apologies for that. Our new member, Gabriella. Hi.
Yes, I'm right here. Hi.
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 Would you
Hi,
like
everybody.
To would you like to say a little bit about yourself and your interest in the ADA?
Well, yes, I'm learning. This is my first time in the meeting, so I'm just listening.
Okay.
So I'm working on the Migrant Head Start for almost 10 years.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a teacher.
Okay. Well, you might have some contacts for us too then.
Yes.
Okay. Well, welcome and thank you for volunteering with us.
Thank you.
Okay. Then that item, we move on to item 3. Thank you, Corinne.
You're welcome.
Talk soon.
Okay.
Moving on to item number three, discussion and feedback on the readability of city printed materials. And that's me and Vidal. Hi, Vidal.
Hi. You want to go first?
Oh, sure.
Kind of set us up a little bit. Okay.
Okay. Great. One of the other comments that we receive is about making city materials accessible for seniors and folks with vision issues. And I find that I'm, you know, struggling with the city newsletter, as it's a fabulous newsletter. And the online variety is nice because you can actually zoom in color and kind of, you know, click on links. But we had some concerns and some feedback on the type size and the grayscale of the city newsletter. And I've sent everyone a partial scan just to kind of have an illustration for you. So if you print that out, take a look at it. You know, it's a little bit hard to read. And as we get more on it, the print seems to get smaller. So, and a lot of these messages are really important, and we want to be sure that we don't make it so difficult, perhaps, is a good phrase. So, Vidal, do you have an opinion?
Yes, I do. One of the things that's interesting, well, let me introduce myself. My name is Vidal Medina. I'm with Resources for Independent Central Valley. What's the sound here?
Hold on.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. So RICV is a nonprofit that provides services to persons with disabilities, all disabilities. So that kind of makes us unique in a way. The other thing that makes us unique, we have large areas. We have Merced, Madera, Fresno, Kings, and Tulare counties. So we're looking at all kinds of, mostly it's consumers or other agencies that call us. And we do a lot of information and resources. So one of the things in regards to print, because I'd gotten a call from DJs, kind of like wanted to know if I pretty much have been on transit. Because she knows I ride transit all the time. The Madera connection. Before this COVID thing, I was always on the transit going to Madera, coming back to Fresno. So that is difficult to read. So that's kind of how that started.
Hold on a minute. Yeah. I have to add all 4 hours of the connection from Madera to Fresno.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. But one of the things that I know is that the ADA has no guidelines for font or Arial or the style. They do have for the internet. So that's why, as you say, DJ, the internet is, there's guidelines and there's mandates for the internet. So it has to be accessible. And so that's very important to make that distinction in regards to font. And a font size and Arial in regards to how things are printed, that is what's considered best practice. So every city takes this upon themselves to look at the demographics of their persons with low vision, whether they be disabled conditions or whether it be just aging. And so that's important to kind of look at. And the reason for that is a lot of information is still on paper. And a lot of folks don't have access, as was mentioned earlier, to the internet. So it is important that anything that the public is going to have to read and able to like access transportation, access in language of the ADA, goods and services. So all of that information that has to be translated in print, our recommendation from our agency, whenever we get calls like this, is 14 to 16 font in Arial. Now, one of the issues that a lot of municipalities run across is this notion that how am I going to get that size font on this paper? Because it becomes real difficult. So the minimum is 14. 12 is just for it. Anyone with like just that have bifocals or have some eye issues, vision issues, then they're going to have difficulty with that 12. Now, I know the last time I took Madera Connection, that font was like maybe a 10, maybe it might have been smaller. The times were pretty tiny. And I use the magnifier for things like that. The other things that are small that I use magnifiers for is for legal documents, legal print. That's usually really small because they're cramming so much on every piece of paper that's in the document. Right. So that was the only thing I want to say about it as the best practice. That kind of where the discussion should start, and then who is your audience in regards to them being able to read the print of anything that in this case the city of Madera wants to get out there. And that's how they're communicating with their community, then that needs to be considered too. That's it.
Well, and I know that black and white and grayscale is also an issue. And, you know, there's just a little bit lost in black and white. I know it's not possible to print color, you know, because of the costs. But if we could just take a look at how we could improve the readability of the important city newsletter, I think would be a help. And then there was the bus routes. That was really, it's an important document that would really, really impact how seniors are able to get around. Assuming that someone has a printer, has a color printer, but perhaps we'll discuss that on the next item. Do we have any comments or suggestions on the readability of city materials?
For any questions for me, I'm open to questions.
The agendas are beautiful, very legible, very crisp, very, very legible. We've got good contrast and good bolding. So those are good. But I think if we put our thinking caps on, we can look at some of these other documents and improve on them. So any other comments or suggestions? Questions for Fidel? Cynthia, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
All righty. Okay, well, moving on to item number 4, discussion and feedback on accessibility evaluation of Madera Metro. Okay, that would be Cynthia and I. And we took a big adventure last week and rode the city buses for, well, no, 3-4 hours, just to kind of educate ourselves on the accessibility options, the serviceability options, and the routes. Cynthia, would you have some thoughts and comments? Just overview?
Yeah, I've ridden the DAR ride many times in town, but never really the permanent route that goes around the whole city. Mm-hmm. So we got on the bus on Olive and Martin Street, right by Rite Aid, mm-hmm. by Highway 99. Our goal was just to ride the whole as far as we could go, try to hit the whole route. We ended up going, I think, on the 2 routes, but not.
We're not sure not where we ended up.
Yeah, we're not sure what route we were on, actually. Yeah. There was nothing posted to say what route we are on or anything like that. So since I'm on the TAB advisory board, yeah, this was kind of a wake-up call for me, too, which we'll be discussing at that meeting. Mm-hmm. So as far as the ride, it was comfortable. It was, the bus driver was really knowledgeable, and thank God the bus driver's knowledgeable, because I've gone to places in town I had never been before. There were some problems, some issues that we found, and we're going to bring those up with David and Yvette in writing so they can kind of get ahead of it before the meeting on the 29th. But we would really encourage all of you to ride the bus if you can, even Dial-A-Ride, if you're, and to see, experience what, you know, everybody does on a regular day when they're using their buses. Because of COVID, right now they're only allowing 5 people on a bus at a time. So they might come up to your stop and then put their hand up and say 5, meaning they have 5 people on the mm-hmm. bus. They can't take anyone. So you might have to wait for the next bus or the next bus. So keep that in mind too.
Yeah. Well, the great part of this is it's very timely because the transit agencies are also poised to get more federal money. And we have the transit study underway. So I would really seriously encourage everyone to just write, Wendy?
I didn't want to cut you off. I was just letting you know I did have a comment on this.
Go ahead, yeah.
So to the concern about not knowing which route you were on, and some of the bus stops aren't even numbered, they are currently printing or working on printing signs for that. The first ones, DJ, you've probably spent enough time with my boss, the city manager, to know that he's a little bit picky about the way things look. So he saw the first round of signs and said no. And so now we're working to make sure that the signs are very readable, that the colors are clear and not obstructing, but provide differentiation to assist in the readability versus making it pretty. You know, we hope they're pretty, but the point is that if people can't read them, they don't do what they're supposed to. So there'll be an informational sign that simply is Madera Metro with the contact information, but there's another specific sign to the route and the stop that will be color coded to the routes on the route map.
That would be huge. And with the advent of new federal funding or state funding, you know, it's a great opportunity for public input and find out who's riding the routes, where they'd like to go. We had the opportunity to contact a lady who was 88 years old riding the bus, and she was just amazing and she had opinions. So we're hoping to get more contact with folks like that and find out where they need to go and how they would like to get there. So lots of opportunities, and the materials and the visibility, the readability of those materials, and maybe even a nice route sign inside the bus when you're sitting idle or when you're transiting down a road, you could look and see where your next stop is and make sure that you're accessing the retailers. We actually had a good couple hour experience with that. Do we have any questions about or comments about where the bus lines need to expand to? Anybody else have any comments or suggestions?
I have a question, DJ.
Sure.
Is there an audible system in your buses that announces the streets?
Not to my knowledge.
So that would take care of anyone that mm-hmm. doesn't have the vision to see a map in the bus. Okay. And the audible will give them clues as to where they're at. And it's pretty much in the bigger city, it's mm-hmm. intersecting other buses. Mm-hmm. In a smaller mm-hmm. city, it's about identifying a place for your orientation in the bus, especially for seniors. Mm-hmm. That you can announce the Target, and a lot of them that go to Target, they know exactly where they're at within your city or other yeah. things like the fairgrounds or so that gives them a reference point. And that's what a lot of smaller cities do in regards to, but you have to have an announcement system.
Yeah.
The drivers were very helpful. Either that or they were just hoping we'd get off their bus. Yeah. But they were very interested in where we were going and where we wanted to get off. So, but they went out of their way to be very helpful. And I know Cynthia has experienced some of them. So they're taking up that slack in the interim. But as things get back to normal and we hopefully get more ridership. Hi, Diana, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just like on some of the bus, cause I've rode the bus before too. And kind of like, you know, the Walmart bus,
mm-hmm.
you know, that route.
The Walgreens bus, you mean?
Yeah, Walmart or Walgreens. Yeah, because if you look on either one, but I used to ride it over there a lot of times. But on the outside, I noticed the buses now on the new Metro buses that they have the where you're going on the outside of those buses mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. Up on it tells you if you're going to Road 28, Walgreens, Walmart, wherever it is. But they usually have it on the outside. And a lot of the bus drivers, if you just ask them, is this bus going? But I know they'll say. But mm-hmm. I'm like, what you call it? That? If they had it announce it, you know, well, you're at this point. You have, say you're on 28. This is 28. You arrived at 28. Or you mm-hmm. at the government center over here. Or this, if they did announce it, it probably would be a lot better because people would know where they are. They do need an announcing system.
I wonder if they could announce it, if the driver could announce it, or if that's a safety conflict, because they do have a PA, I think, in the bus. Cynthia, do you know?
I don't know that. I don't know. Vidal, do you know?
Yes. So what happens with the FTA, that's the Federal Transportation Administration, they put out some stuff where the announcement, if you don't have a verbal announcing on your bus, you have to announce it. The drivers have to announce. They don't have to announce every street, but they have to announce where buses, connections for other buses going either east or west or north or south, whatever bus you're on. When you come to a connection point, that driver has to announce it. Now, one time, what happened here in Fresno is their audible voice went down, their announcement went down. And the drivers weren't used to that. And you've never seen so many complaints go into fax because it is the regulation that you must announce connection points or even points of reference in a smaller town. As I say, I think that really helps the group, that helps the folks that live there and they're familiar. I mean, I could be on the bus. You could tell me it's Target or Walmart and I wouldn't know. I mean, I basically would be looking at the map and trying to figure it out. But yes, when there's no announcement, verbal announcement that, yeah, the drivers have to announce the at least the connections.
Okay.
Main streets.
Well, that's good to know. Diana, to your point, mm-hmm. Cynthia and I were looking at the outside of the bus. There was a digital, it's like a digital display, but in the bright sunlight, it was a little difficult to even make out where the bus was going. It, you know, would say, you know, something to Road 28 or hospital or.
Yeah.
In the bright sunlight, because the digital display was white or yellow, it was washed out. So maybe a red display would help that, or, you know, the digital just didn't really connect with a lot of the people, because I was watching as we pulled up to bus stops, they'd look at the digital sign and then ask the driver. So maybe.
My thing would be if they're going to use the digital sign, I would have thought they would have put that in the front of the bus, that a person is standing up out there that's waiting for that bus. Mm-hmm. They can see it because it's across the front, not on the side, because who's going to get out there on the side looking for a sign on the bus? But if they had it in the front of the bus at the top, more people would be able to see what bus they're seeing.
There might have been one bus that did have front and side, but it was still hard to see in full sunlight. Most of the riders waited for the driver to open the door and then queried the driver on where the bus was going. So
yeah,
it'd be nice too if it was inside.
Yeah,
but it would what?
It'd be nice if that sign was also inside the bus, above, just above, behind the driver there.
Yes.
If the sign was telling us where we're going.
Okay. But I think the verbal, like Vidal points out, I think the verbal would be, you know, most appreciated, the verbal announcements, which I didn't notice.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But if you're hard of hearing, then, you know, you need something, and you can see, you know, then something visual would also be a good way to do it.
Yeah, that's true too.
Any other comments, suggestions, things noticed?
Just so you know too, that the to take a bus right now, it's free. There's no charge because of COVID. So if you, and I mean, it's not very expensive to take the bus, but that's another encouragement for you to get on the bus and take it to work if you need to. You know, something you go to every day, if you can, you know, save some time driving your car and wasting gas and everything, take a bus if you can and experience it like how the regular citizens of the town do. It'd be nice.
I would like to encourage everyone to just take an hour or two and get on a city bus and just review it so that we can all contribute our observations. I think the other point of contention that I've heard is being able to purchase a ticket from the driver or from a retailer so that, you know, we can simplify that process. And then I also had a suggestion of alternative taxi script. I think Wendy, I think Fresno had this program, and this would apply more to people that perhaps have mobility or immediacy issues for transportation. And if any of the federal dollars would be available for a taxi script type program in lieu of DAR. I don't know if that's something we can, you know, at least ponder.
That's probably a good item to bring up at the Transit Advisory Board.
Absolutely. I was just kind of running that past everybody. Okay.
Jack would like to say something. He has his hand raised.
Oh, I'm not seeing it. Okay. There we are.
As far as the tickets go, we're changing we're going to be getting new fee boxes that are going to be, they'll be able to pay with your phone or a card or something. So you can take care of your transaction right there on the bus. That was a part of the update on the buses. It's in the works.
With a phone?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that doesn't address the people that don't have smartphones. That doesn't help. But that's a tab comment. Okay.
Yeah.
Jack?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. To the ticket issue, yeah, it would be nice if we were able to buy the tickets somewhere. I can buy postage stamps at Save Mart. Why can't I buy bus tickets at Save Mart? Or if we're going to have vending machines, why isn't there one at Walmart or Walgreens or places that the buses go to? You know, right now, all we can do is go to City Hall, which has been closed for a year, or out to the transportation place, which is going to take a ticket. For someone's going to have to use a ticket to go get new tickets. It doesn't make sense. So I've been asking for 2 years why we couldn't have vending machines like Fresno has, or why we can't buy rechargeable cards to be able to use. So that's my comment on that.
Rechargeable cards are a great idea for the folks that wouldn't have smartphones, because a lot of seniors have flip phones. That was one observation that I did make. And the rest of us just struggle with them. So
it would be nice to have an ATM, a card like an ATM, you know, that they can just use, just get in, and it should be equipped enough that they can just slide that card there and use it.
Well, we'll send the,
We're in the process of working on that. It's a matter of money and trying to update all the buses and getting that approved and everything. So it's in the works. Things work kind of slow in the city, as we all know. But that is something that has been brought up in the last year that we, either have a card, a rechargeable card, and to be able to use your phone, because most people have phones, like kids going to college and so forth, you have a phone and you just use your phone in a, you know, to pay, something like that.
Was that a scannable card so the driver doesn't have to touch anything?
Or you stick it in. I'm not exactly how it would work. I don't know exactly the systems that are out there right now, but it's definitely something we need to bring up a tab.
Well, and with the new dollars hopefully coming in, it's an exciting time. So everybody that has a concern or a comment, please go ahead and participate in the tab meetings so that we can get all the input that we need. So lots of opportunities. So any other comments or suggestions? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to item number 5, discussion and direction regarding the purchase of safety wheelchair flags and our educational materials. And Wendy, I was hoping to discuss and get your thoughts on the budget for ADA materials and outreach.
Well, I include funds in my HR budget that are available to use for ADA. We've usually budgeted $1,000 per year. You spent about $200 on flags. They're sitting in my office. So if you want to arrange a time to pick some up, if you need more DJ to hand out, let me know.
Okay.
The plan is to include money in next year as well. So it's not a situation like, say, grant funding where it's use it or lose it. The money's available to spend, but if we don't spend it, there'll be money budgeted in next year's operating budget as well.
And then so we may or may not get to the fair this year, but I also wanted to open the discussion for materials that we could hand out for outreach. And perhaps Tim had some ideas on this. You know, we've had the coloring books in the past, but maybe there's some other educational handouts or things that we could help increase awareness, disability awareness. So whoever's got some thoughts, Tim, if you're still with us.
Well, I'm very much here. I'm listening.
Okay.
Sorry, I was. I had to take care of a little boy. Anyway, a little 14-year-old boy. I think the coloring books work out really well at the fair. But I really don't have any type of suggestion really about it. I was just thinking that we're talking about marketing. Maybe we could use some of the funds. Not so much to pay for the flyer that goes in the utility bill, but maybe we could put together some marketing things that help the senior citizens find out about the food or something. Just a thought. I don't know if that helps anything.
I'm liking that utility insert from the experiences that I've had with it. Folks.
Corinne, I'm sure we'll follow up on that. Our contract with the company that sends those out includes one stuffer per month. So that's already included. So I wouldn't worry about that. One idea I had, it depends if you think it would be effective, is you could use funds. We've encouraged the police department to post on social media, like ADA parking awareness. We could pay to make that an advertisement, that type of thing, so that it's not only showing up in the feeds of those who like them, but you could pay a certain amount and then it shows up in the feed of anyone who lives in the city of Madera type situation.
I love that idea. I would love to see, you know, it would be great. I don't know if the police department could put together a video or something like that, but if we could have like a little video saying, hey, don't park here or something like that. And then likewise, we could fund them, we could boost their posts and you could, I mean, it wouldn't really, you spend $50 on boosting a post and you'll blanket a city with it really hard on social media.
Yeah.
And I think Jack, that's a really good use of money.
I think I have seen some Facebook ads that were done by DMV, Disability Handicapped. I mean, they did that awesome poster a couple of years back of Save the Space. And I'll bet you DMV or the state has some little targeted ads that we could put on Facebook and geo-target. We could use some of our budget perhaps to geo-target the city for handicapped parking. Wendy?
I'll look into it. As long as they're available for just public use, yes. Otherwise, it between Joseph and the police department, Joseph Corello, who does our communications for the city and the police department, we could probably put something together and look to the others for inspiration.
Yeah, because I mean, I suspect they already have them in the can, you know, just that we just haven't resourced ourselves.
Right. If you put together, though, you kind of have like a special video, and then you could advertise it through the city, through Facebook. And, you know, use Big Valley News. I know Jack's on here. Use Big Valley News and advertise with them as well. I mean, Jack's got a pretty decent readership. I shouldn't say decent, really good readership for Madera. And really, honestly, you could, you really could, like, I'm just saying, really, you spend a little bit of money on boosting it. You could really do some really cool stuff and just so remind people that they don't park there.
That's advertising, right, Wendy? So that's a permitted use of our budget.
Hey, Tim, what would you think about filming a video of actually somebody parking in a handicapped spot and the police coming up? And in that conversation between the cop and the person in the handicap, he says, well, hey, I'm only going to be here a minute. I'm only going to be here a couple seconds. I'm just running in real quick. And then we pan over to a guy getting out of his wheelchair and having to go in and looking at the guy parked in the handicap stall with disgust because, you know, he's taken up a spot that was reserved for him. We got some actors over at Madera PD, don't we? And you are probably the best director in town.
Ah. That's
yeah,
nice.
whatever.
Okay, well, no, let's I think we could. Let's start with some stills and see just to get it out and then see what we can come up with before we start the fur flying.
I'll go along with Jack's idea. I like the idea. Let's just get something together and boost it. And
I like that too.
And Joey Carrillo is a much better videographer than I am, Jack. But thank you. But I love the idea of what Jax is saying is just kind of make a commercial and I think you get a lot more bang out of the buck too. If it's Madera, we know where Madera PD is. We'll see Madera PD, you know, and it'll definitely have a different effect on it as well. You know, so
I'm willing to be the idiot in the car that says all the,
But you didn't even have to volunteer for that one, Jack. You know that.
But you hear all of these excuses all of the time about why people park in handicap. You know, it's open. I'm only running into T-Mobile to pay my bill.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah.
Okay.
At least I think it'd be you could have somebody like a Ryan Desmond or somebody like that. You know, and exactly. Ryan would go for it. And so, I see what you got.
Do we need a vote on this, Wendy?
DJ, I have a comment before you vote. Our agency would like to offer something. We work with the Pacific ADA Center in Oakland. They are federally funded and they do a lot of flyers for all kinds of things like service animals, mm-hmm. Tenant, landlord issues. They do it from the they write up all this material from the perspective of the ADA. And so whenever we do outreaches and we need ADA material that has been published or looked at or given out by this ADA center, and every part of the country has a center. So ours is the Pacific ADA Center. And one of the things that we do when we do outreach and we need literature pertaining to ADA, they give them to us for free. And then we could disseminate it into the community. Uh-huh. And what I would need to know is what would you folks like as far as literature that has to do with some issues like parking, like service animals, like transportation, some issues that from the perspective of the ADA and the regulations, that's what would be printed on this material. And it would be all federally kind of looked over, that kind of stuff.
I think we were hoping to start with a 2x2 static Facebook ad that we could blast out or have put it on websites, you know, just a static, you know, save the space type of a deal. Let's start with that, see how the saturation goes. Because we're trying to reach the non-handicapped market with that piece of advertising, right? So that would be a Facebook issue where everybody's on Facebook. Let's saturate them with save the space.
But if you need anything like ADA materials, like for the fair or any other time that you want to do outreach, just let me know what your focus is on, and then I will give them a call. And usually I spend a few minutes talking to someone and kind of explaining what we need or what is it that we're trying to get out into the public. And this could be persons with disabilities or not.
Wouldn't that be your nutrition? Wouldn't that be your nutrition too? If you're trying to get out and reach them with your nutrition?
With the Meals on Wheels program, a Facebook ad. That might be step two after the utility insert, I would think. We might want to, you know, use that as the second step in that, but that's a good idea. Are there any other suggestions for educational outreach materials? Since we have a budget that we're not utilizing completely. Anything else? Anybody? I don't know if we're going to have parades or fairs this year, but as a member, I would like to have like a trifold flyer or, you know, just, you know, something to hand out as I'm stalking people with wheelchair flags. So any other ideas? Nope. All right. So do we need to vote on this, Wendy, to consensus, or are we just...
I think direction is fine. I'll coordinate with the police department and see what we can get together.
Because we have this budget, let's use it. And if we can do it on Facebook. All right.
I can't imagine the police department not wanting to promote that either. I mean, I just think it's a kind of a slam dunk for everybody. It's a win-win-win-win.
You went somewhere else, Tim. I thought you were going to say you can't imagine them not wanting to spend my money, but
no, that's what I mean. You know,
the minute I give them a new org to charge, they'll be fine with it.
Exactly. Those guys in blue, they'll find a place to spend the money. Don't worry.
Well, good. That's something that has escaped my attention. So I think that's a great idea. So seeing no other comments, moving on to item number 6, advisory council reports and announcements, requests for future agenda items. Any comments, suggestions? Seeing none, I had an interesting or a happy incident with the pedestrian safety or the pedestrian crosswalk on Caitland. Do we happen to have those photos, Diana, that I still haven't figured out how to put on Zoom? Yes, okay. It had come to my attention about 6 or 7 months ago as I was hiking during the cool of the winter, that this traffic circle on Caitland on the very western edge of the city that goes to Riverview, goes from Westbury to Riverview, lacked a well-marked or any pedestrian crosswalk. And the city had been updating this intersection with these traffic calming islands.
Can you see the picture? Can you see it? Yeah, okay.
And then we also have the next photo. that shows the crosswalk a little bit more. And I think this was just an oversight over the years, but people had actually gotten the habit of transecting the traffic circle just to take the most direct, you know, they'd walk up and just be unfamiliar and they would actually transect the circle in the lane of traffic on a blind curve. And Keith Helmut from engineering actually met me out there one day. And as we were standing there, two seniors in their late 70s transected the intersection on foot right in front of Keith. And I thought he was gonna fall out. It was priceless, but it could not have been a better illustration of people need assistance in finding safe areas to transit. So this is absolutely awesome. If you have a chance, drive by it. And I told Keith how awesome it came out, but there's no confusion now of where you should be if you're transecting this traffic circle, because, you know, and traffic circles are just unusual. You know, people just kind of are not as used to these as they could be, but this is absolutely beautiful. So thank you to Keith and the city for marking this out. And it's reflective, and it's also away from the traffic island concerns that we originally had about the safe direction of traffic. So do we have any, thank you, Diana. Do we have any other announcements or requests for future items or items of concern from anyone?
Mr. Lateef wants to say something.
Hi, Mr. Lateef.
Can you unmute your speaker, Mr. Lateef, and then we can hear you?
There you go. Now it's good?
Yes, you're good now.
I sent one picture handing over a flag to one wheelchair lady to DJ and Wendy. I don't know you guys receive or not. I was trying to give or put on the wheelchair on West Olive Avenue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know you guys receive or not.
I remember getting it.
Oh, okay. I don't know what. That's fine.
Good job. And generally the folks that we approach with those chair flags are very, very appreciative to get them. They're unaware where they can find them. And the police department concurs that is a life-saving item, because we have power chairs mixing with traffic in roadways, in intersections, and also in parking lots. And it's pretty hair-raising to turn into a parking lane and see in front of you someone in a power chair with little or no visibility. So, Wendy, how are we going to give these out, or how do we want to handle this? Can people pick a couple up, or how would you like to do this?
They just need to let me know. The HR staff is still working remotely, but like I go by the office daily. So if we work out a day in a mutually convenient time, we can arrange for you to pick up a few.
I think I'm down to one, but I give out two or three a month. But I don't know, anybody else have an experience with this? Diana Robbins, have you identified?
No, I haven't. But I know I've seen a couple people. I'll probably get a couple of those flags, because right. I kind of know a person that might need one.
Yeah. And this affects seniors, and you know, it's the power chairs are great, but boy, they do, you know, they do put people in harm's way if they're not staying within the marked crosswalks, etc. So, all righty, any other comments or suggestions? Cynthia?
I'm good.
Anybody else? Last call.
Excuse me, you can hear me?
Yes, Mr. Lateef.
Yeah, I was looking on local appointment list, city website.
Okay.
ADA Advisory Council is it means not up to date.
Mm.
Are you talking about the membership or?
It was the local appointment list.
Okay.
The what list? I'm sorry. We can look at it and make sure. We can look at
American,
it and make sure
it's on the top. It's American with Disability Act ADA Advisory Council.
It's published by the city clerk, and the most recent appointment was just one meeting ago. And so
yes.
The last update, the date on the bottom 3-8 was prior to Ms. Gonzalez's appointment. So the city clerk's office will update it as they process the items from that agenda.
All right. Okay. Well, then we'll conclude the meeting if there's no other comments at 4:38.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye. Good evening. DJ, I will email you those minutes so you can sign them. Okay.
We'll do.
Thank you.
Bye.
We did have flags available at GPS, Jack. Okay. I'll text him. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Welcome. Bye. Bye.